Good morning. It's good to see you. Good to be with you. And I'll not go into any further delay on that, but I don't want to be short and rude, but I deeply appreciate your presence, the opportunity for my wife and myself to be with you this weekend and in the capacity of presenting some things that have helped me and my spiritual growth. Just one other word before I get started. Originally, I do have PowerPoints for this, but I had it on a flash drive and come off and left it, so Brother Steve has drove back to get that, so I'll have the PowerPoint for the sermon this morning and tonight, but there, just to let you know, there will be PowerPoints available for this Bible class, but we're not going to be using them because I don't have the flash drive. Been dealing with, as Brother Wally mentioned, challenging your faith. It's a series that is linked simply because it focuses upon our spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, it's necessary, and in order to do that, it involves a number of things. I've tried to lay some groundwork and just point out some basic things that I'm sure you knew. Maybe say them in a way that's different from the way you've heard it said. But spiritual growth is depending upon learning. Learning requires studying. Studying takes time. It's challenging. We have to have a strong faith in order to withstand the things that we face here in this life. And this morning I wanted to deal with another aspect of faith and talk a little bit about hope, and hopes that you will not be fearful of learning. Sadly, a lot of people are. When you learn, it's going to call upon you to make change. That's especially true as it comes to God's Word. Learning to live the Christian life is not automatic. When we repent and we commit our lives to a new master, it requires massive changes in how we live. We have a different way that we have to learn to live. And it's by faith. It's based upon God's Word. So I've been talking about how God has put His Word, revealed His Word, His will, if you will, in the Bible. It's not in the form of simply, don't do this and don't do that. God expects us to understand and comprehend, but more importantly, spiritual growth is dependent upon spiritually discerning matters. Reading facts, putting facts together that's scattered out in the Bible, and making the right conclusion that those facts are intended to point us toward, to draw us to, or to force us to that conclusion. So this morning, I want to talk about faith, challenge you to examine the nature of your faith, or the nature of your hope, rather, and see how that your hope is related to faith. So if you have your Bibles, you may not be able to necessarily keep up. I may not quote the entire passage, but a passage that you're probably familiar with from the Hebrew epistle about faith in chapter 11 and verse 1. We're told that faith is the assurance of what we hope for as Christians. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. We sang a song yesterday, I believe it was, about an assurance that was blessed, the hymn, Blessed Assurance. Is your assurance a blessed assurance? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And we can see that there's a relationship between faith and hope in this passage as you look over it. Another passage that focuses a little bit more on hope from the Roman epistle in chapter 8 of Romans, verses 23 through 25, the Apostle Paul there wrote about Christians, including himself. He says, "We ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons." That adoption being the redemption of our bodies. Paul says, we as Christians, we are waiting for that. We don't have it yet. The redemption of our bodies, our adoption as sons. "For in hope this hope of this redemption of our bodies. It's in this hope, Paul says, we've been saved. But he goes on to say it, but we haven't seen it. Hope that is seen, that's not hope. Who hopes for what he has already seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, then he says with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. How are faith and hope related? Which, faith or hope, which is dependent upon the other? Thank you. I'll use this for the morning. Which is dependent upon the other? We read, again, of faith in Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes how? Faith comes from hearing what God has said. Saving faith comes by hearing words from God. That's the focus of Romans 10 and verse 17. I want us to consider that concept and apply it to hope, if you will. Faith and hope share a common trait, as we've seen from Hebrews 11, 1 and Romans 8. They share a common trait. Neither of them are based upon what can be seen with the physical eye. Our faith is not based on what we own physically, physical vision. Neither is hope. You recall 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 that I've referred to Friday and yesterday. The things of God are to be spiritually discerned. If you will, seen with the eye of faith. It requires spiritual discernment, not physical discernment. It's not the exercise of the physical eye. Now, let me explain. Physical visibility is utilized in regard to faith and hope. But what we see, we don't see faith and we don't see hope, but we see the effects of both of these things. For example, in Acts the 11th chapter, when we read of Barnabas, when he came to Antioch, it says in verse 23 of Acts 11 that when he arrived at Antioch that he saw the grace of God. Okay? I ask you to think, well, what did Barnabas see when he got to Antioch? The Bible says he saw the grace of God. But what did he actually see physically? If you look back up two verses in verse 21, that's what he physically saw. And in seeing that physically, he spiritually saw God's grace. In verse 21 of Acts 11, it says he saw that a great number of people believed and turned unto the Lord. That's what Barnabas saw. He saw people turning to the Lord. That is, he saw the effects of grace. But you remember, we've talked already from like Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Grace teaches. And that's involved in people believing and turning to the Lord. There has to be teaching of God's Word. This teaching that Barnabas saw specifically refers to those who were not in the Lord coming to the Lord. Barnabas saw people who were sinners being converted to Christians. That's what he saw when he saw people believing and turning to the Lord. So what? Since grace, he saw grace when he saw that, and grace teaches, then what this refers to in Acts 11, contextually, is that Barnabas saw people. Barnabas, this teaching that grace teaches, Titus 2, 11 and 12, the teaching that this refers to, which involves conversion, is the teaching that we read of in Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, when the Apostle Paul there wrote, and he said that there is a form of doctrine, there is a pattern related to the new birth that has to be delivered and it has to be believed and obeyed from the heart for a sinner to be made free from sin. That's the focus of Romans 6 and verse 17. And Barnabas, when he got to Antioch, he saw sinners believing and turning to the Lord. That involved the teaching of a pattern of doctrine, a form of doctrine. It was delivered, and it was obeyed from the heart. And people were converted. And so when Barnabas saw the grace of God, physically what he saw And what was involved in that grace that he saw was faith, because faith cometh by what? The proclamation of God's word. But faith cometh by hearing that. So hearing was involved. Belief was involved. When it says that he saw people turn to the Lord, by necessary implication, there was teaching about repentance. That's what repentance is, a turning. And all this was when he saw grace. He saw there was hearing involved, there was belief, there was repentance. And from all the examples in the book of Acts, when we look at those detailed cases of conversion, I know that when Barnabas saw the grace of God in Antioch, he saw and heard confession about Jesus Christ being made. I know that there was baptism, because that pertains to the form of doctrine that has to be delivered. That's the form of doctrine that was delivered throughout the book of Acts as the gospel was being preached into all the world. And so Barnabas saw the grace of God, but grace is not something that you see visibly. It's to be understood. It's to be spiritually discerned. But there is physical visibility involved, but Barnabas saw the effects of God's grace, and he saw the effects of the teaching of God's word. He saw obedience. He saw conforming to what was preached. So all these things, physical visibility is involved. But the basis for our faith is not visible. Hebrews 11:1, again. Things not seen. Faith is the substance of things not seen. Again, Romans 8 and verse 24, there is a basis for our hope, but that basis is not visible. Hope that is seen is not hope. And so in this matter of challenging our faith, in order that spiritual growth might occur, we need to exercise our senses. We need to develop our own convictions. That's really, if I was to sum up this weekend's series, I want to encourage you to develop your own convictions. That's what spiritual growth really is about. Not being dependent upon what she said or he said. You grow in your own studies to be able to have a firm conviction about what you believe. You know why you believe what you believe. And your life, your living, you can confidently exemplify that. You cannot be swayed from it. But at the same time, the wisdom that I talked about with the enmity and wisdom, you're wise enough to understand that your mind must ever be open, that you, in case you find things that you've not yet gleaned. So one thing I hope you've taken from the lessons is that, and again, I hope to encourage you to see that there's no shortcut to growth. There's no spiritual steroid. Growth takes study. Study takes time. And time is a precious commodity. And we're told in two of Paul's epistles, he mentioned in Ephesians 5 and verse 16, and Colossians 4 and verse 5, when he wrote to the brethren in those two places, it redeem your time. And that's what Bible study involves, redeeming time. Now, let me ask you about faith. And hope. Not necessarily soliciting an answer, but feel free, if you have a comment or a question, raise your hand and I'll try to allow you that time, but it's up to you. But let me ask you, do you believe in heaven? Do you have faith in heaven? Now, what did you understand that I asked? Was I asking you, do you believe in the existence of heaven? When I said, do you believe in heaven? Well, let me ask you this. What about hope of heaven? Do you have hope of heaven? Now, consider that. Do you believe in heaven? Or do you have hope of heaven? How confident are you of that? Hope. What is it? What are we talking about? Hope is not just desire, but it's desire with a confident expectation of receiving that desire in regard to what God's Word has said about it. In other words, Do you hope in heaven? Do you understand how to get there? Not do you just believe in the existence of heaven. Do you believe you can get there if you follow God's will? Do you have hope? Are you confident this morning that you're going to heaven? That's hope of heaven. Are you sure you're going to heaven this morning? Do you know one way or the other? So do you believe in heaven? You might say, well, yes, there's a heaven. The Bible says so. How confident are you in your faith in heaven that you're going there? That's hope. Is your faith based upon hope? Consider that. Is your faith based upon hope? Such as, well, I hope I get to heaven. Is that the nature of your faith? Or is your hope based upon faith? I expect to be in heaven. Think about that. Let me say it again. Is your faith based upon hope, or is your hope based upon faith? You may believe in heaven, but do you hope in heaven? How confident are you in your faith? That's how confident you are in your hope. Your hope is as strong as your faith is. If you have a weak faith, you have a weak hope. So can you say with all certainty, I know I'm living the type of life and I am confident I'll be in heaven should I die or should the Lord return? That's really the crux of the matter. Hope and faith. Now, consider this. Again, I'm going to ask a bunch of questions. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Now consider this as to whether it's true or false in regard to hope. Now hope cometh by faith, and faith by the Word of God. Is that a true statement? Does hope come by faith, and faith by the Word of God? Can you think of a passage in support of that then, if you believe that's so? How do you prove it? There's not a passage like Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. There's not a passage that says hope cometh by faith and faith by the Word of God. But that is true. But it's not in that same format as Romans 10:17, but we make conclusions and we are certain that it's true in other ways. We take facts that are scattered out about hope, as we're going to do this morning, and we have to make a conclusion. Is my faith based upon hope, or is my hope dependent upon faith? Big difference. And so, as you can see, in order to benefit from hope, God has put it in a format that will only be understood from your gleaning of study. It's going to require you to do a lot of studying to be fully persuaded in your mind, have a blessed assurance about your own hope. And the prayer is that you will grow in your life, and I'm certain you will, that you will have an assurance that is blessed, like we sang. Not a doubtful assurance, a blessed assurance. You will be certain, like the Apostle Paul said, I know about my departure. I know. I have fought the good fight. I finished my course. We ought to be able to say that. We certainly can say that if we grow in our faith. But in understanding hope, we find in the Bible that there are things which we hope for that are used in place of the word hope. Okay? And this is a concept that I'm confident that you're familiar with, known as metonymy. That is, the effect is used in place of the cause. Now, we're familiar with that. A lot of times we will refer to a drink, a strong drink, as with the word bottle. Okay? We say we're going to count heads or noses, but what we're actually doing is counting people, aren't we? And in the Bible, we have reference to the throne. But what is talked about, what is meant, is the rule that comes from that throne. That's just a basic idea of metonymy. And that's what we have with hope. The things that we hope for are mentioned. They're not visible. They are to be spiritually discerned. Now let's just begin noticing a few passages that helps us to understand that hope is not a visible thing, but the things that the Bible says that we hope for. Okay, we can't see the things we hope for. We accept them by faith. Titus 1 in verse 2. We read about hope of eternal life. Well, can you see eternal life with your visible, your physical eyes? Can you look at anything and say, that's eternal life? Well, how do you know that it exists? And hope of eternal life. We hope for eternal life. Can you show me visibly something tangible and say, that's eternal life? But we accept it by faith, don't we? Because God said it in His Word here. We hope for eternal life. But eternal life is not visible. It's based upon faith and what God's Word said about it. And that's the focus of Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith is based upon what God said. God said there is eternal life purposed for us. Do we believe it? How strong is our hope? Do you believe you have eternal life? Eternal life is based upon faith, just as hope of it is. The effects are visible from the way you live. If you're confident that you have eternal life, it will be reflected in how you live. And specifically, it'll be reflected in a certain type of living. Obedience to that Word of God. I talked about commands. If your life is a life of obedience to the things that God has commanded in His Word, then you can have confident expectation of heaven. You can have hope of heaven. But it is based upon faith. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. And let's read again some things that the Apostle Peter mentions here about hope, what we hope for. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, then conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. He was foreknown from before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Our faith and our hope are said to be in God here. We hope in God. Can you visibly show me God? Is God physically visible? My hope is in God, but I don't see God with my physical eye. It's not visible physically. God, I understand, exists, but not with the naked eye. But the creation, I see the effects of God, and therefore I know about God. The creation gives evidence of God, Romans 1, verse 20. But God has also given me evidence in His Word about His love and eternal purpose for me. That comes from the revelation of His Word. I have hope in believing or having faith in what He has said about eternal life. So I have hope and I have faith in God. In what? In what God has said about eternal life. That's what my hope and my faith is in. It's spiritually discerned. God is not an idol. Again, that He's physically visible. But our hope is in Him, but it's dependent or based upon faith in what He has said in His Word. Another passage from the Colossian epistle, Colossians 1 and verse 27. Paul talked about hope here. And let's notice again what's visible and what's not and what is actually seen, the effect for the cause. Colossians 1 verse 27, Paul said here, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do I hope for? Glory. Show me something physically that's glory. What do I see? Christ in me, the hope of glory. What is the glory that I hope for? Is it visible physically, or is it spiritually discerned? What is this glory? See, that comes from what God has said about it in His Word. The glory of this mystery, which is Christ in me. Show me Christ in me. What's visible about Christ being in me? If Christ is in me, what will you see about me? You see how it's by the way that I live? What God has said about if Christ is dwelling in me, my life, my living, my example will reflect that. And what you see in the way that I live, you spiritually discern based upon faith and what God has said. Christ is in me by how I live. So that's what's visible. Hope in glory. Christ in me. Christ in us. How is that? Well, we find from elsewhere in the Bible that Christ dwells in us. How? Through faith. Ephesians 3 and verse 17. It's through faith that Christ dwells in us. Colossians 3 and verse 16, I'm sure you're familiar with. Let the Word of Christ dwell in me. Christ dwells in me when Christ's Word dwells in me. Now, how do you know Christ's Word dwells in me? Because of my obedience to the things that Christ has commanded. All of these things are related in that way. The dwelling is not visible, but the results of Christ dwelling in me are visible from my life. So the visibleness is seen in the obedience of my faith in what Christ has said. Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the very first verse, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. He said to Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. What does it mean, Christ is my hope? What's the visible evidence that Christ is my hope? Well, there is no visible evidence. Jesus Christ is our hope, based upon His being resurrected. Remember what Paul said in the Corinthian epistle? If God hath not raised Christ, if Christ be not raised, what's in vain? Our faith and our hope. So, Jesus Christ, who is my hope? Jesus Christ, Paul tells Timothy, who is our hope? In what way? Well, in our belief that God certainly did raise Him from the dead. Jesus Christ has been risen. He is my hope based upon my faith. Do I believe Jesus has been raised? If I do, how certain am I that I'm going to be raised? Whether it be from physical death or in judgment. Am I certain? See, it's based upon what we really believe. Our hope is in proportion to our faith. And so if our faith is weak, our hope's not going to be strong. We're going to have doubts to the initial question that I put out there. Do you have hope of going to heaven? Are you certain you're going to heaven this morning? How certain are you? Makes you think. Makes you examine yourself. That was one of the titles of the sermon. Paul told the Corinthians, examine yourselves as to whether or not you're in the faith. That's the purpose of the format of God's Word, to cause us to self-examine, to apply the things of the Bible to ourselves. If we have confident expectation that the life we're living is going to get us to heaven, then we can readily recommend others, as the Apostle Paul said, do as I do. Be ye imitators of me. Paul imitated Christ. We can do that. And so here Paul tells Timothy that Christ is our hope. That's based upon faith in the resurrection, isn't it? That's based upon faith in the resurrection. Give me some physical evidence that Christ was raised from that grave in Israel. Does anyone have any physical evidence that there was a resurrection? Show it to me. Where is it? No. That's not visible. Show me a visible empty tomb. There is no visible evidence. The tomb in which he was buried, is it certain that... Here's the tomb. If we travel to Israel, can we literally go with certainty know, hey, this was the tomb that Jesus was put in? No, there is speculation. I've been there. When I was there in the 80s, there was three possible locations of the crucifixion and the tomb. Do we know with certainty where Joseph's tomb was? There's no physical evidence, but the point is that. I appreciate your comment. But we accept the resurrection by faith. It's not a visible-based thing. But God says, Peter preached, God raised him from the dead. David's sepulcher, Peter said, it's with us. Where is Christ? It's empty. Prove it. Prove it physically. You can't. We accept it by faith. We have hope in our resurrection based upon faith that he was resurrected. Are you certain that he was resurrected? What's the basis? Faith, belief that God said he is in heaven right now and he's going to come back. Do you hope to be with him? Are you certain when he comes back, you're going to be numbered on the right hand of Jesus? How certain are you of that? You can be certain by obeying the things that he taught. Changing your life to the will of that new master that you committed your life to when that form of doctrine was preached and you obeyed the gospel. As the world says, the day you got saved, if you obeyed the same doctrine that the apostles preached in the first century, you can be certain, you can go to the scriptures and prove it. Outside of that, show me your salvation. It's physically visible by how you live. And so, hope you begin to see about hope. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Let's notice a little bit different as we look at hope. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. What's this hope called? What's it described with? What's the adjective? This hope here is called a good hope. Notice also that it exists because of God's grace. Hope exists because of God's grace. The passage says that God has given us eternal comfort and he's given us good hope by grace. Now again, physically, show me something and say, that's comfort. That's a visible, tangible thing. That is comfort. Like I look at this cushion. That's a cushion. Show me physically comfort. You don't see comfort. You see the effects of it in a life. And based upon what God has said about comfort, you can conclude safely by how that person is living. That he has a blessed assurance. He has comfort. He is certain of his salvation. And it is explainable. We have eternal comfort because of God's grace. Again, that is connected with teaching, Titus 2, 11 and 12. The grace of God that has appeared to everyone teaches us to deny certain things. Grace teaches that. And so that involves, by implication, the teaching of God's Word about repentance, putting off and putting on, as we read in the Colossian epistle. And God has given us good hope. Good hope. What is good hope? Again, grace is not visible with the naked eye, but the results are. God has given us good hope. It's a hope that with certainty, I know that because of how I'm living, that it's in accordance with God's Word, and I am certain my hope of heaven is sure. It's sure and it's steadfast because I understand what God requires of me now that I've given my life to Him. And I'm confident and I trust Him enough to live my life, to shape my life in conformity to how He says I'm to live. You know, really, that has to be resolved before you're going to grow. God has the right to tell you how to live. Now, do you trust Him that His way is best? Only your obedience bears out whether you truly have faith in that. In Titus 2 and verse 13, as hope is called good here, there, in Titus 2 and verse 13, hope is described as a blessed hope, wherein we wait for the appearing of the glory. We talked about glory earlier. What is going to appear when Christ comes back? We're going to have His glory. And we wait for that. That doesn't mean we sit idly twiddling our thumbs. When we wait for it, that means we are patiently serving. We are enduring the things that we must go through to make our faith strong. Without a strong faith, the trials of life will absolutely crush us. There's things that happen. There's hills. There's valleys. If we don't have a strong faith, Satan will absolutely destroy us. We need to recognize his power. We cannot resist what Satan is going to do without God's grace. But God's grace empowers us through teaching us. And if we trust that if we will simply be obedient, we'll weather that storm that comes. Because you think about what all we face, the heartbreaks, the problems we might have within a family, the problems within a congregation, individual abuses that we've been subjected to, traumas and so forth, how our emotions are just all... What solidifies us? What gives us an anchor? Reason to go on. Reason to live. Hope. That's based upon a strong faith. Strong faith comes from spiritual discernment. Strong meat is not for everyone. Only for those who have spiritually exercised their senses. So as we eagerly wait, it's not just sitting back and watching the show, watching God perform His miracle. No, we are busy about His business. We are in His army. We have a job. We have responsibility. His return. We eagerly wait His return here, as we read here in Titus 2. Eagerly waiting His appearing. Well, His appearing right now, show me the visible. Show me visibly His appearing. I hope for His appearing. I hope for His return. Show me that visibly. You can't. It's not yet occurred. It's not yet occurred. But I have hope, certainty, that He's going to return. What's that based upon? That's based upon God saying He's going to come back. How certain am I of that? That's reflected in how I live. That's reflected in how I live. And I know whether I'm living as I ought when I look at His return with the attitude that I look at it with. Do I eagerly want Him to return? How bad do you want? Are you looking forward to that with great anticipation? Do you pray for that day to come? Do you hasten? We sing about hastening. How bad do you want Jesus to come back and get out of this miserable life here on earth? How bad do you want that? Or do you look at that day, you know it's going to come, but you have a dread because you're afraid of what's going to be said? How certain is your hope? This is what I hope that you will glean from this morning's lesson. Again, Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 25, if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we eagerly wait for it. The relationship between hope and faith is also seen from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where Peter said that He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How so? Well, we're born again to a living hope. How were we born again? Peter goes on to say in verse 23 that this birth was made possible by the Word. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, you have been born by the Word of God. In Hebrews 7 and verse 19, it said, while the law made nothing perfect, on the other hand, there was the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Wait a minute. We're drawn to God by hope? Hebrews 7:19. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. How are we drawn to God? By hope. Well, you remember John 6, verses 44 and 45. It also said we're drawn to God by the teaching of the Word. Any relationship between teaching and hope? What is hope? Hope consists of the things for which we hope, the things for which we eagerly wait, confident that it will be as God has said in His Word. This is how we are drawn through hope. Jesus said in John 6, no man can come to me unless he is drawn. He will be drawn by being taught. Everyone who has heard and learned comes. And therefore we see from Romans 10:17 why the language is as it is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Doesn't that teach that faith comes by the Word of God? Now let's go back to the original question. Time is up. Does hope come by faith, and faith by the Word of God? Does hope also come by the Word of God? It's connected with teaching. Two passages leave with you. I encourage you to study them in view of this. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. What is the confession of our hope? And again, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How do you know there's a resurrection? It's only by the eye of faith. It's to be spiritually discerned. How strong do you believe in that? But what does it mean? What does the resurrection mean? It means that you can have a confident hope that you'll be where He is. That's why He's coming back, to take His people home. Hope the class has been beneficial. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Thank you.